and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
If you have your Bibles, and by the way, how many of you at your jobs get a 30-minute lunch? Raise your hand. How many of you get an hour lunch? Raise your hands. So everybody here can eat in an hour. That means I need to quit at 12:45. You can go eat and be back here by 2. All right? I won't take long, but I just want to, before anything, take your Bibles, turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I was told a few weeks ago to keep this date open. I don't know what people thought I was going to be doing, but I was told to keep this date open. And I would ask questions, and I was told, you don't need to know that. Do I need to preach? I don't know. So I plan to preach, so you get to hear a sermon whether you want to or not. Unless you get up and leave, it's free will. You can leave if you wish to. But I do want to preach and continue our series on leadership, the church great need of leadership. And I want to turn this morning to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, back in the Old Testament. Some of you are saying, well, the church didn't exist then, the New Testament church. Thank God you realize that. You've got enough Bible knowledge to know that, yes, you're right. The New Testament church was not in existence at the time, but the people of God were. There were those who were trying to follow God, and those who were trying to follow God, his people, had to have leadership. And God provided that leadership for them. Now, you and I know when it came to the nation of Israel, God chose, first of all, for the people simply to look to him, but they thought they needed a king. So he said, okay, I'm going to give you a king. Now, we know the history of that didn't always turn out good, but God always worked, whether it was a good king or a bad king, he always worked his sovereign will to bring the people to him. He had a plan. And this morning, I want to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and continue in this series on leadership, especially leadership in the church. There are some principles in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 that I want to pass on to you this morning. Most of this sermon has already been preached, so after I read the scripture, I'll only take a few minutes. It's been said. What I need to say has been said. It's come from the lips of people that have stood here this morning and said it in a number of ways, and so I'm thankful that the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, is always at work affirming where he is at work. He says it before we experience it. He helps me to know that I'm on the right path. David has been king for 40 years. He has served the people Israel. The time of his leadership is coming to an end. He has all these dreams and plans of building this temple, but God says, no, you're not going to be the one to do the building. But David is going to now, as he leads the people, be before them who God needs him to be as the leader of his people Israel. And he's getting ready to hand this over to Solomon. And so I want to read beginning in verse 1 of chapter 29. It says, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender. That word tender means inexperienced. Probably is what your translation says, unless you're using the old King James. He's young, he's inexperienced, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistening stones and of divers colors, different colors, all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. the gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of those artificers, those who will do the work. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly. And they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. I don't know about all of that, but they're giving a lot. An amazing contribution. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they had offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Thou, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? But who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart. You have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have set with joy thy people, or I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of your people. Prepare their heart unto you. Give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision." As we continue in this series, and next week, by the way, I want to mention to you, I don't know that it has been mentioned, but next week, as we will have our installation service for Pastor Tim as your senior pastor, I hope that you will plan to be here, be a part of that process in this time of transition in the life of this church that God has his hand upon and his blessing. And so I hope you'll come and be prepared to stay for a little while after the service. We will not keep you long. Again, next Sunday morning, we're going to have a time over in the fellowship hall for Tim and Amanda and the family as well. And so keep that in mind. These thoughts for several months as I asked God to give me direction for this last month of ministry, how to speak to you as a church family, to be able to address the transition as the pastor that is here now. I thank God for his leadership in that. I thank God for the way that he has given us these last few weeks this series of messages that I hope has totally helped you to be able to look at God's Word and see what God's Word says about the church in transition. Not what you think, not what you want, because by the way, can I tell you, what you want really doesn't matter. It's not that important. That's a selfish desire. But to be able to look into the Word of God and say, God, as we move into the future, as you have given us leadership, how that leadership works together with us as people to be able to do what you've called us to do. God is getting ready to lead his people Israel to do a great task for him in building this temple. A place for, the Bible said, for him to dwell. And we know that God doesn't dwell in man-made buildings, but it would be a symbol of the presence of a holy God. And he's going to have his leader lead the people to do this great task, even though he would not be the one who would see the fulfillment of it, not even be able to participate in that part of it. God would use him, that being David. In this text, I want to share with you three things about leadership that I think is very, very important for you to recognize, for you to understand. I think Pastor Tim and your leaders already know all of this and understand this, and my prayer is that all of us together would understand this and see how that it is God who is doing His work through His people, through His leaders, as we serve Him together till He comes again, till He sends Jesus to come to receive us to Himself again. Now, let me back up just a little bit because this is important if you missed last week. The thing about leadership for God's people that we saw last week is this. Godly leaders are appointed. We don't choose them. God chooses them for us. They are appointed by God. We saw that in Acts 13. God said, I've chosen these men. I've selected these men. These are the men that I want to use, Paul and Barnabas. They are appointed by God. However, the second thing we see about godly leadership is this. We get to affirm them. We're the ones who are able to say, yes, God, we see that. We recognize that. We know. We can see that. We've prayed about this, and there's no doubt you've directed all of this. The church gets to affirm them. And lastly, we saw last week is, in godly leadership, is that they are anointed by the Spirit of God. It was the Spirit of God that sent them out. They must have the Spirit of God. And I urged you last week, if ever you pray at all, for your pastor, and I hope that you do, I pray that your prayer would be simple. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, lead, guide, give discernment, give direction, because as I said last week, in a church of hundreds, everybody has an opinion. Everybody thinks they know which way to go. You do not. God's going to speak, and He's primarily going to speak through one person. He's sitting right there. You may not understand it, but it is Holy Spirit-led anointing. You will know if it is. You'll know if it's His own whim. You'll know if it's of God. You will know it. You may not even like it, but you'll know it's of God. I know over the last 21 years, you've followed me into some places you wondered, what in the world are we doing here? You didn't even want to be there. But you believed it was of God, and God has proven by His Holy Spirit that this was of Him, and I'm thankful for that. Now, let's look at today's message. By the way, I want to say this, and some of you won't appreciate this. I sure love hearing those kids in here. I've heard kids crying. I've heard kids screaming. I've seen kids hiding under the arms of their dads like Easton up here right now. Aren't the kids a wonderful thing? A lot of churches don't have kids. And because I love you, I won't keep you too long. But if I see some of you parents squirming around like this is killing me, I'm just going to stay longer. You better love those kids. Put your arm around them. Hug on them. Kiss them. Don't get up and walk out. You get up and walk out, I'm going to say, go get them. Bring them back in here. I want to look at this text. Three principles about leadership that we see in the life of David. Now, you know very well David was not a perfect man. It was not until God really changed his heart that he could be used of God. You know that. I don't have time to go through that whole history of David. He had his failures. He had his falters. He had all kinds of issues. But God had His hand upon him, and the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. God changed his heart. We're going to talk about that hopefully briefly here in a moment. But there are three things about leadership, godly leaders, that I want to look at out of this text that I think we need to understand as you move forward, as Pastor Tim and the leaders lead you, and especially Pastor Tim, as we head toward your installation service next week. Three things that godly leaders do. First of all, godly leaders lead by example. Ms. Ernestine, I don't know who wrote that for you this morning, but thank you for that. Not because I just agree with it. Godly leaders always lead by example. It does not matter what we say. Tim already knows, and leaders know. It's not what we say that matters. It's what we do that matters. It's interesting in this text, David, who's not going to be able to see that temple built, who's not going to be able to see it completed. However, in verses 1 through 5, you can read these for yourself. He led by example. He did not ask the people to give until he given. He did not say, I want you to do before he had done. He did not say, I want you to go before he had gone. And he says in those first 5 verses, I'm not even going to get to participate in this, but I have done as best I can in giving by leading. He led, he led, he led. Leaders lead, and they lead by example. Now, please don't consider me the best of example. I hope you don't see that at all. But I do know this. You're not leading anybody unless you're leading by example. And I don't care if you're a parent, a dad, a mom, a son, a daughter, a Sunday school teacher. It's not what we say. David led by example. And if ever there's an age when the church needs people who will be examples, it is now, folks. It is now. It's time for you. Listen. Things have changed in the years that I've been a pastor. Used to, people, and I'm going to talk about this. Let me just move to that right now. I'll move to that, the second point. Not only did David lead by example, David led by encouragement. After David did what he did, he gave first to the Lord. Then he encouraged the people, it says. It says in verse 5, the latter part, David said after he had led, he said, and who then is today willing to consecrate themselves to the Lord? David led by encouragement. I want to encourage you today. Sitting on the pews will not work in the modern church today. Now, we're being told that all people want to do is come and sit. You will not lead people to Christ by sitting. You must willingly consecrate yourself to the Lord. And I hope that over the last 21 years, if anything, we've tried to encourage you to be used of the Lord. Now, some of you need to get off the pew and start being workers for the Lord. You need to consecrate yourself to the work of the Lord. And listen, I hope you'll be like these people, the Israelites. They didn't have to be tugged and pulled and called 15 times and sent 30 texts and sent 15 emails. They willingly offered themselves. They willingly offered themselves. They willingly gave. They willingly opened up their hearts and their lives. They willingly. That meant that they heard the voice of their leader by his encouragement, by his challenge, and they stepped out and they presented themselves to the Lord. Verse 6, offered willingly. Verse 9, offered willingly. Again, verse 9, offered willingly to the Lord with a perfect heart. These people heard encouragement. I'm thankful for what God is doing in my heart and in my life. I've never seen the church as discouraged in my entire ministry as it is today. People sitting in the pews, defeated. You're beat up all week. They say amen to that. The world beats you up all week long. You're tired. You're frustrated. Everybody's telling you you're number one at stop signs. You know what I mean. The person behind you is angry because it just happened to be the merchandise you bought doesn't have the right stamp on it and they got to do a price check. People are angry. You know who deals with that? Pastors. Because they can't vent it everywhere else. But they invent it on him. But he will encourage you. Pastors lead by encouraging. You're right, Ernestine. There are a lot of times when we want to do other things. No, we encourage. Because here's what we know. The God we serve is a faithful God. And if we will willingly offer ourselves, God will use us. Leaders lead by example. Leaders lead by encouragement. But then lastly, I really want to get to this. Leaders lead by expression. You can read it for yourself, verses 10 through 19. I'm not going to read all that again, but I hope you'll go home and read it and make some notes of these things. David, after he committed everything that he had, everything that he could give, you know, there were some, if you read some of the other texts that talk about this time in the life of Israel, people said, why are you doing this? And David said, well, who am I that I would not give my best to the Lord just because I'm king? Who am I? David gave of himself. He was an example. David encouraged. He was an encourager. Then lastly, David led by expression. Verses 10 through 19, David offers up this prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord. He expresses praise to the Lord. You ladies that sang a moment ago, we bless your name, Lord, we bless your name. Yes. David stood and he blessed the Lord for what God was doing among his people, for what God was going to do with his people. And in this prayer of thanksgiving, there are three things that I hope you will. I've often wondered if it's the last message that I ever preach to a congregation, what will it be? Well, this is it. Probably. I don't know. I may be back on occasion just so that I can persecute some of you. But I may be back on occasion. By the way, there are a lot of things I've learned while being pastor of this church. And some of them is this. It takes a lot for some people to change. A lot. So I may be back on occasion. But if this is the last sermon, I hope you hear this. If there's anything that I hope that you will remember about God and about how he works in our lives. David stood, he blessed the Lord before the people, and in this prayer, he acknowledged three things that are vital for us as children of God, and especially as a church of God. The first thing he acknowledged is this. He said, God, everything belongs to you, verse 10 through 13. All power, all majesty, the victory belongs to you. Strength is in you, the heavens and the earth. Everything belongs to you. Now, some of you don't like that, but what you think you have doesn't belong to you. Everything belongs to the Lord. Everything belongs to the Lord. David said, God, we bless you because we know everything belongs to you. He says, not only does everything belong to you, it's all about you, who we are as a people, the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty, all of these things, they are because of you. Not only does everything belong to you, David went on and said, anything we have to offer you has already come from you first. Now, this is not a sermon on tithing, but I'm going to say it anyway. And it's not a sermon on offerings, but I'm going to say it anyway. I want to thank you for being an example across our state convention in the way you as a church give of yourself in missions and 30%+ going out into missions. But I think about what we could do if every person in this church realized that every time they got a dollar that God blessed them with, that at least 10% of it belonged to the Lord. If you want to debate tithing versus giving, I'll take the giving part because I'll move to the New Testament because God says it's not the 10%. I want you to give me all of it. Be willing to give me all of it. Think what we could do if we recognize that anything that we ever have to give back to God, He gave it to us first. Not just your money, your time. Your time. Listen, I said this last week. My time does not belong to me. It belongs to the Lord. Some of you haven't figured that out yet. Your time does not belong to you. If you think you're going to hog your time from God, God may just take some time from you because He gives you that time. Your house doesn't belong to you. Your car doesn't belong to you. Brian was talking about scratch and itch. I remember those young men, they were older men very well, led both of those men to faith in Christ. I didn't. The Spirit of God, as I shared the gospel with them, I think about them often. Here's how God put them in my life. I was driving a new van that we had just bought. And God said, stop, pick them up. You've heard this story, some of you. And I said, no way, I've got a new van. They're carrying kerosene cans and it's cold and they're going to get in here and they probably stink. Yes, that's what I thought. And God said, you forgot something, dude. That van you're driving is not yours. That's mine. I gave that to you. It changed my whole perspective. I'm like, come on in, guys. You got any buddies? Listen, some of us need to understand. God can't use us because we've not understood. Everything belongs to God, and we can't give Him anything that He hadn't already given to us. The breath that you have, take a deep breath. Not you, Rachel. You take a deep breath, you'll be singing for 30 minutes. Have mercy. So glad those girls were able to sing this morning. That breath you just took, God wants to use that breath to breathe out life to someone. You can't give Him anything He hadn't already given you. Choir sings. He gave them the ability to sing. Most of them. Some of them were still questioning. Whatever you have that you think you're going to give back to God, no, understand, give it to Him, but He gave it to you first. He gave it all to us. David blessed the Lord before the people of God, encouraged them. He said, understand something. God owns it all. It all belongs to Him. And when you want to give Him something, understand as you give it to Him, He gave it to you first. And then lastly, David said this, the one thing God desires more than anything else is that your heart is right toward Him. He said that in verse 17 through 19. David said, God, the one thing that I know about you is you desire uprightness of heart. Of mine heart, I have willingly offered these things in the uprightness of my heart. David's heart wasn't always right. Read Psalm 51. The thing that God needs to do in most of our lives today is simply this, change our hearts, that our hearts be made right toward Him. That's God's number one desire for us. He wants our hearts made right toward Him. Yes, it starts in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I agree. That's where it has to start. Until then, you don't understand that. You can't understand how to have an upright heart because you can't have a heart that's upright before the Lord, where sins are forgiven. But after we come to know Christ, God's desire is that we pursue Him with a heart that is right. Today in this building, there are some of us who need to confess to God some things. God, I want my heart made right. I want it made right before You. David led by example. He led by encouragement. He led by expression. He expressed to the people, this is all about Him. I don't know who this Roy Sutherland guy is y'all been hearing about all morning, but I do know who the God is that he serves. And this is all about Him. Tim knows the future of this church is not about him. It's all about Him. And if you will recognize that and offer yourself willingly to that, you have not, and I have not, seen nothing like what God will do when His people understand this is all about Him and we give ourselves to that cause out of hearts that are made right.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.